Dear listeners, we recently visited CEE Sustainable Finance Summit, and we interviewed Mary Warlick from the International Energy Agency. IEA is one of the data sources for our analysis, and you might have heard about it in our podcast before. Mary and Peter discussed current trends in energy transformation in the countries of Central and Eastern Europe and all over the world. Enjoy listening.
I'd like to start with a little bit of an introductory question, like what is IEA and what is your position there?
Great. Well, very nice to be with you. My name is Mary Warlick, and I'm serving as the Deputy Executive Director at the International Energy Agency, which is based in Paris. It's a 31-member organization. All of our members are also members of the OECD. And at the same time, in 2015, the IEA, under our current executive director, Dr. Fatih Birol, very much opened the doors of the IEA to non-member countries as well, recognizing that there are countries such as India, China, Indonesia, Brazil, and others who are major energy-consuming countries and play a vital role in global energy markets and demand. And so we now have 11 countries who are association countries, as we call them, who are part of the broader IEA family. And the newest member of the of association of the IEA family is Ukraine. Ukraine was invited to join the IEA last year, and we're very pleased to just beginning some of our work with Ukraine as well. So the IEA was established, founded in 1974, in large part due to the disruption in global oil markets from the oil Middle East oil embargo, and where countries came together with the understanding that there really was an important need to respond to future market disruptions. And so energy security has always been at the heart of what the IEA's mission is. That's very much our mission today, even as we work very much. Our work is very much focused in terms of the global clean energy transition in recognition of the big contribution that the energy global energy system plays in terms of global energy emissions. So we work very much at the nexus of energy and climate and energy transition challenges in an effort to help countries meet their net zero goals by mid-century or a little bit thereafter, and also very much in the spirit of helping to keep the Paris goal of 1.5 degrees Celsius by the end of the century alive.
What are the trends that you see in the energy sector in the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years? Like, where is the world going right now? And it's two questions, actually. Where we came from, like, the last 5-10 years, and then we can maybe look into the future. Where are we going? What are the different scenarios? So if you could comment on that.
The focus very much, as I was saying, of the International Energy Agency's work today is on the global clean energy transition. There's no doubt about that. In 2021, we issued the first global net zero report for the energy sector with the intent of really outlining under a series of different scenarios what it would take for the global energy sector to achieve net zero by 2050. And that's an area of work that really is a huge part of our engagement, really with countries all around the world, not only the 11 association countries that I mentioned, but we work really closely with other non-member countries as well. For example, in the past year, we've really stepped up and expanded our engagement with a number of countries in sub-Saharan Africa, We've recently completed, conducted an in-depth review of the energy policies in Senegal. Prior to that, we had a mission team of colleagues in Uganda for a similar report, and we've been working very closely with Kenya, and not to leave out any countries, but of course I will also mention that South Africa is one of the association countries.
Could you specific maybe or name some specifics about these countries? Because earlier you mentioned India, which is a big player now, and now Sub-Saharan Africa. So maybe what can Central European listener imagine, or what should we know, what should our listeners know about the differences between these parts of the world?
Right. Well, that's a very fair question. I would just say that every country has tends to have a different mix of energy sources in their energy system and a different set of challenges. You know, the broad goal is achieving decarbonization, reducing energy emissions. And so to be responsive to your question, we work on a whole variety of really specific areas, helping some of these countries with developing their own energy scenario modeling skills, with the development of their data collection and analysis skills. We posted quite a number of workshops and did one just recently on energy efficiency. Energy efficiency is often called the first energy source, and it's an area where there is huge potential for further gains in terms of reducing emissions and achieving decarbonization. But some countries are interested in policy advice, for example, on developing their hydrogen capability, or what could be done in terms of decarbonizing, hard to abate industry sectors in steel and cement. Many countries are very interested in the regular reporting that we do on oil markets and gas markets. But the primary focus of our work, and of course a big is on the whole set of areas that would need to be addressed in the energy system to drive down decarbonization. The power sector is a big one, no question. If I could mention Indonesia as one example, we worked really closely with Indonesia in developing a specific net zero by 2050 report for them that looks at a whole range of areas and policy recommendations. Indonesia is a country that is still quite reliant on coal thermal generation for its electricity sector. So that's a specific area, for example, of our work with them. The agreement was reached with Indonesia quite recently on a just energy transition partnership, along with the support of the U.S. and Japan. And the IEA helped to provide policy advice to both Indonesia and to those two countries as they were reaching agreement on that just energy transition program. And some of the policy advice that we had and analytical work we had done in connection with our net zero report was helpful in that regard.
What crossroads do you see in the near future for us or for some countries, maybe some specific regions in the world? What are the big decisions that are in front of us that could, that will have a big impact on how our energy sector looks in like 2050? Can you name some of them?
Well, certainly. And as some of those we've touched on a little bit today in the course of this conference that we're both attending, but I would say one of the biggest challenges that we at the IEA are doing quite a lot of work on is the question of financing the clean energy transition. It's challenging enough in the industrialized countries around the world, but it is a particular challenge in the emerging and developing economies. where you know, capital is not flowing as easily into the investment in renewables and clean energy, other clean energy technologies. So you know, there's while we see good positive trends in terms of an emerging global consensus in support of the clean energy transition connected to the importance of meeting our Paris climate goals, there is a lot to be done to get to those goals, and a lot of it will require significant financing. When we look ahead to the investments in renewables and clean energy that will be required by 2030 and 40 and 50 in particular, there's a lot to be unlocked. We don't believe there's necessarily a shortage of capital, especially coming from the private sector, but finding ways to incentivize it, to attract it, to support the necessary investments will be really important. We've talked a little bit today also about regulatory hurdles, and permitting has come up for discussion. Mm-hmm. I know that's something that has attracted quite a lot of attention right here in Europe. And I think addressing some of those hurdles can also be really helpful in helping to get some of the projects, important renewables, wind and solar projects, moved forward as well.
We are now speaking in Prague, Czech Republic, and this conference is focused on CEE, so Central European and Eastern Europe. Do you have a specific message that you would like to convey to stakeholders in this region?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, you know, the Czech Republic, countries in this region are part of the European Union. And I have to say, you know, we recognize that this part of the world has faced particular challenges, particularly difficult challenges over the past year, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the significant disruptions on oil and gas markets in particular, which have been so important for Europe. And we really acknowledge the important progress that EU member states have made in terms of reducing demand and reliance on Russian fossil fuels and gas in particular. As I understand it, the situation is such that the EU is now importing 80 to 90% less today than it did a year ago from Russia in terms of gas. It's done a really important job in terms of diversifying its energy imports with increases in imports, pipeline gas from other sources and LNG from a number of sources, including from the U.S. So that's been really important. But what we also see as really important, and this applies to Central and Eastern Europe as well, is that this moment of crisis has really facilitated, I think, a sense of the urgency, of the real urgency in energy security terms of accelerating the clean energy transition so that countries in this region and all, really all across Europe will be better positioned in the future. And so, you know, they think some of the results just within the past year are really truly impressive. And I think it's important to not overstate, or we can't overstate, 40% more solar and wind power additions today than a year ago, 40% more heat pump sales and installation across Europe than a year ago, 15% more electric vehicle sales, and investments in energy efficiency have also really jumped. And so my message for, you know, for countries in this region would be to really continue to keep up the pace, remain focused on what, you know, your country and your EU goals are in terms of emissions reductions and net zero goals, to really sustain this effort. And as we think about developing and really accelerating our progress towards this new clean energy economy, that we're also thinking ahead, right, to some of the challenges of the future. So we don't find ourselves in a situation where we're facing new energy security challenges that we should have had the foresight to but not only identify, but tackle. And one of those I would mention is taking a hard look, as we've pointed out in our Energy Technology Perspective Report early this year, at the concentrations, not only on the location of critical minerals resources, for example, and where they're produced, but where they are processed and where the manufacturing of other key energy technologies takes place with regard to batteries and so on. What we see right now is a concentration in just a small number of countries. And so I think some of the thinking that's going on in Europe about how to deal with those and in the United States through incentive programs such as the Inflation Reduction Act and the Green Deal Industrial Plan can, I think, be really helpful in helping us think ahead to the future and ensuring we are going to be better positioned as we move ahead.
Thank you very much for your time and enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you for
this interview. You're most welcome. Thank you.